The Sports Report is brought to you by iHome, the number one brand in digital audio. From Lightning Dock alarm clocks to rechargeable Bluetooth boomboxes and quality affordable headphones, iHome has you covered. To learn more, head to iHomeAudio.com. Welcome to episode number 471 of the Sports Report. I'm Paul Roberts on GrizzlyProductions.tv. New shows every Monday on The Grizz. The show is free in the podcast section of iTunes. Keep the five-star reviews coming there. We always love to see that. And we look for your responses on Twitter. I'm at the Sports RPT. We have a couple big series coming up this week. If you're a hockey fan, if you're a hoops fan, and I want your predictions, your picks for the finals on Twitter, I'm at the Sports RPT. This is Memorial Day 2017, and I think we need to take some time to reflect and think about all the men and women in the armed forces, all the branches that have paid the ultimate price, that have lost their lives to protect this great country. And listen, is everything perfect in the good old US of A? Obviously not. Our country definitely has its issues, but I'm still proud to say that I'm American, still proud to come from this country. I think there's a lot of good people in the U.S., and I still think it's one of the best countries in the world. So we need to thank all of those people that have made that possible, the people that protect us, the men in the Army and Air Force and Marines, Navy, National Guard, all of the women as well that serve this great land of ours. So yes, have fun out there. You think about heading to the pool or a picnic or get the barbecue cranked up, watching some baseball or some racing over the weekend, but always think about the men and women in the armed forces who don't always get to spend time during the holidays with their family and friends like a lot of us do. Coming to you live on this Monday afternoon, not a best of show. I don't even know if I have any best of shows, but not a tape show. A lot to talk about as well here on episode 471. Thanks for joining me as always. I will preview both the Stanley Cup Final, which begins tonight, and the huge Golden State-Cleveland series that we have all been waiting for in the NBA. Plus, a look at a big day in the world of racing. But first, some news regarding Tiger Woods, and it is not good. Tiger was reportedly arrested for driving under the influence early this morning near his home in Florida. He was taken into custody at 3 a.m., booked around 7:15, and then released shortly before 11 o'clock this morning. I did see a mugshot of Tiger from the Palm Beach County Sheriff's Office, and he does not look good. Looked out of it, looked like he had a rough night. Obviously, he made a mistake. Now, you know, these holiday weekends, obviously there are parties that people go to. You're hanging out with your buddies, and Tiger Woods certainly not the only person drinking, but you just cannot get behind the wheel. Always better to get an Uber or a Lyft. I mean, there's so many options nowadays. You can call a taxi or a cab. I know I have the Uber app, and it's always worked fine for me. But some bad news here and a bad look for Tiger Woods. And it was just last week he said that he felt the best that he has in years. Had another back surgery on April 19th. It seems like it's been one back surgery after another, after another, after another for Tiger Woods. So he had one last month. He is out for the rest of this year. He's not going to be able to play in any events in 2017, but he said that he definitely, unequivocally is the word that he used, wants to play professional golf again. So all the Tiger fans out there were happy about that. Hasn't won a tournament since 2013. I mean, think about that, 4 years. And the last of his 14 major titles, the 2008 U.S. Open. I mean, that's almost a decade ago since he won a major. But this is something different, something off the course, and another black eye for Tiger Woods. And, you know, my stance hasn't changed. I've always said that I thought he could win another major. You know, golf, it's not like he's playing middle linebacker, all right? It's not like he's playing power forward or playing center in the NHL. I mean, you know, the primary activity of golf is what? It's walking, okay? I mean, they don't even have to carry the clubs. So it's not the most grueling sport out there. It's not like he's an NFL running back who's taking shot after shot after shot from guys who are 300-plus pounds who can run 4-5 40s. So I've thought if he can ever get healthy that he could win another major. And I've always believed it's better for golf when he is in the big events. And you just look at the ratings. More people watch, more people are interested. You know, the golf purists out there don't like to hear that because they think the sport's fine on its own. More people watch, the average Joe sports fan, more of them are interested when Tiger Woods is out there. So, you know, I was glad to hear the news last week that the surgery went well. And, you know, he still has a long road of rehab and recovery as far as that fusion surgery goes. But I was glad to hear him say that he felt the best he has in years and that he definitely wants to play pro golf again. And, you know, then this happens. And it just makes you wonder exactly where Tiger is at. You can weigh in on Twitter. Again, I'm at the Sports RPT. The Sports RPT on Twitter. Today's show brought to you by iHome. iHome has introduced its Zenergy line of products. They feature sound and light therapy technology, which helps you to fall asleep and wake up energized and ready to go. And that's very, very important to each and every one of us. We live busy lives these days, need to get some rest and quality sleep. These new iHome products have soothing sounds from nature and white noise designed to help your mind and your body relax. They also include specially designed light therapy programs to promote sleep and increase your energy during the day. Dr. Michael Bruce, who's known as the Sleep Doctor, recommends these new iHome products, and he is the most trusted authority on sleep in the entire nation. So check them out. Go to the website, iHomeAudio.com. Look at the Zenergy line of products like the bedside sleep therapy machine and the portable sleep therapy speaker. Again, the website, iHomeAudio.com. The NBA Finals get started Thursday night. I have dubbed the league the National Blowout Association because there have been so many downright awful games this postseason. I mean, nobody wants to get to May and watch 20, 30, and even 40-point routes. If I don't have a horse in the race, and I'm a Sixers fan, so I most certainly do not have a horse in the race, I want to see a close game in the playoffs, period. Haven't got many. But now the two teams that all of us anticipated would be in the finals are here. LeBron, Kyrie, Kevin Love, and the Cavaliers against Steph Curry, KD, Draymond, Klay, and the Warriors. And if you love star power, and if you're a hoops junkie like me, well, you've got a good series right here. This is the marquee matchup. This is the one we've all been waiting for. Forget about the fact that Boston was the number one seed in the East. Anyone with half a clue, Inspector Gadget, knew that Cleveland was the best team in the conference. And if you did not know that, I hope you tuned in and watched the Eastern Conference Finals, because the Cavaliers left absolutely no doubt who the best team in the East is. No disrespect to Boston. Celtics had a great season. They play hard, very well coached under Brad Stevens. We know what IT was able to do this season. I mean, that's a good team, but they're not on the level of the Cavaliers. So for the third consecutive season, it is Golden State versus Cleveland for all the marbles. Warriors won in six games 2 years ago. Last year, the Cavaliers got revenge, rallied from a 3-1 hole, and won it in seven. So now we have the grudge match. The Warriors are favored in Las Vegas. No surprise there. They won 67 games in the regular season. That's 16 more than the Cavaliers did. And they are the first team ever to start the playoffs 12-0. Cleveland almost did it. Cavs are 12-1, the lone loss coming to Boston. The Westgate Superbook made Golden State a minus 260 favorite for the series, which means that you risk $260 on a $100 bet if you take the Warriors. Cleveland is plus 220, so on a $100 bet on the Cavs, you win $220. As for Game 1, Golden State is a 7-point favorite. The Warriors were 36-5 at home this season in the regular season. We lost 5 home games. Warriors got here by sweeping Portland, Utah, and San Antonio. I think that we all would have liked to see what the Spurs could have done with a healthy Kawhi Leonard and a healthy Tony Parker, for that matter. Not saying that they win the series with Golden State, but it definitely would have been more competitive. I mean, San Antonio was up 20 in Game 1 when Kawhi Leonard got hurt. Cleveland swept Indiana, although all those games were close, swept Toronto, and then got rid of Boston in 5. LeBron James is in the finals for the 7th straight year. I have to talk about LeBron, and even the biggest haters out there, you have to give the man his due. 7 straight trips to the NBA Finals. He also passed a guy by the name of Michael Jordan, who you may have heard of, pretty good player in his day, passed MJ as the all-time leading scorer in playoff history. And that's remarkable to me because I've always compared LeBron to Magic as opposed to Jordan. Jordan was the pure scorer. LeBron loves to pass the ball, loves to get his teammates involved. More of a facilitator than a pure scorer. So that's why I've always compared him more to Magic Johnson. And let's not forget, for the haters out there, what this guy did in games 5, 6, and 7 of the finals last season against Golden State when Cleveland was down 3-1 and nobody was giving the Cavs a shot to come back. Game 5, he had 41-16. Game 6, 41 more. Game 7, a triple-double. 27 points, 11 boards, 11 assists. That's all. Down 3-1. So, if you still don't understand that he is one of the elite players ever, that's a you problem. I can't help you anymore. That's not a LeBron problem. That is on you. What may surprise some of you is that coming into this series, LeBron's teams have been the underdogs in 6 of the 8 NBA finals that he's been in. And that counts this series as well. So it's not like he has always been the favorite here. He's been the underdog more often than not. 8 series, 6 times, his team has been the dog. That may surprise some people. On to the lineups here. We've heard a lot about Golden State having 4 All-Stars in its starting 5 with Durant, Curry, Green, and Thompson. All terrific players, no doubt about that. But Cleveland has 3 All-Star caliber players in its lineup. I don't think we should just overlook the Cavaliers here because they're the dog out in Vegas. You have LeBron, you have Kyrie Irving, who had 42 in Game 4 against Boston and made the biggest single shot in the finals last year. And then you have Kevin Love. And that's where more of the focus needs to be. I know what to expect from LeBron and Kyrie. All right, I know pretty much what I'm getting there. Kevin Love is essential if the Cavaliers are going to repeat. And he's looked much more confident in the postseason this year. He's not timid. He's pulling the trigger on his 3 ball. He's rebounding at a very high level. And he must keep doing all of those things if they want to win. If it's Golden State's Big 4 against just LeBron and Kyrie, the Cavs are done. They're not winning the series. So Love is a guy that I'm going to be watching very, very closely in this series. You could call it a Led Zeppelin series. Whole lot of Love. That's what the Cavaliers need. For you young bucks, Google Led Zeppelin. Pretty big band back in their time. Love averaged nearly 23 points and 12 rebounds in the Eastern Conference Finals against Boston. Big numbers there. He set the tone in game one, 32 points, 12 rebounds. You go back to the Pacers series, and all four of those games were decided by 6 points or less. Yes, it was a sweep, but they were close games. In that series, Love averaged 15.5 points and 9 boards. So Cleveland must have a confident, aggressive Kevin Love. That is a huge key. Also, LeBron needs to be in attack mode, not settling for threes. He did not shoot well from three in 3 of the 5 games against Boston. Had a couple of 1 of 6 performances in there, also an 0 for 4. LeBron is bigger, stronger than anyone that the Warriors are going to put on him. I mean, the guy's 6'8 and looks like a football player. Go to the bucket, attack the rim, try to get some of the stars for Golden State in foul trouble, and don't settle for threes. He's playing outstanding basketball right now. I just want to see him keep attacking. In the 13 playoff games, he's had 30 points or more 11 times. Plus, if you just look at the closeout games that they had against Indiana, Toronto, and Boston, those 3 games, LeBron went for 33, 35, and 35. On top of that, he's averaging 8 rebounds and 7 assists. So what more do you want for the haters out there? And yet there are some media bobbleheads who were actually questioning how much this guy had left at 32. Give me a break. You know, my answer, watch the games. Just pay attention. I mean, are you paying attention at all? This was one of his best seasons. Career highs in rebounds and assists. I mean, he's still scoring and shooting at a very, very high clip from the field. Now, the free throw shooting has been a problem. That's been an issue. But overall, this is one of the best seasons of his career. For people wondering, you know, is he slowing down? Jeez. Oh. As for the Warriors, the X factor in the finals could be Klay Thompson. His scoring is way down this postseason. This dude averages 22 in the regular season, but against the Spurs, cut it in half. Thompson was only giving them 11 points a game, and in the 4 games against Utah, he only averaged 14. Now, his defense is always a big plus, and he's a threat from 3 anytime he's on the court. So he helps you space the floor, which creates driving lanes. The Warriors would be better off to get Klay involved early in this series. And obviously, a lot of eyes will be on Kevin Durant. He left OKC to win titles. Now he's here. Now he's got his shot. And if the Warriors don't win this, he's going to get a lot of flack. That's just the way it is. I'm not saying it's right, but KD will take some heat if they lose this. Durant averaged 28 points and shot 60% from the field versus San Antonio. So he was as advertised there. And you know, I'm huge on efficiency, so I love to see the 60% as a field goal percentage there. Which brings us to prediction time, my friends. If you believe that defense wins championships, usually we hear that in football. If you believe that, you have to go with the Warriors because the numbers show that they are clearly the better defensive club. Clearly. Golden State also has home court advantage. The revenge factor is in play after they blew the 3-1 lead to the Cavs last year. And the Warriors added a former MVP who's one of the best scorers that we've ever seen in Durant. I think this will be a more competitive series than others do, but I'm going with Golden State in 6. That's my call. Warriors in 6. Who are you picking in the NBA? Finals starts later this week. It's Golden State, Cleveland, Part 3. Let me know on Twitter at the Sports RPT. The Sports RPT on Twitter. This is episode number 471 of the Sports Report. I'm Paul Roberts on the Grizz. That is grizzlyproductions.tv. And of course, you can find the show in the podcast section of iTunes. Just type in the Sports Report with Paul Roberts and it'll come right up. You can also listen to previous shows that we've recorded here on iTunes. I think most sports fans agree that playoff hockey is awesome. The regular season seems to last roughly about 10 and a half months. But the reward is the postseason. And now we're down to two teams, Pittsburgh and Nashville? Yes, indeed. The Predators have reached the Stanley Cup Final. It starts tonight, Game 1 in the Steel City, 8 o'clock Eastern, Game 2 Wednesday, and then the series heads to Nashville for Games 3 and 4 on Saturday and next Monday. By the way, all of my friends who have been to Nashville absolutely love it. That's one of the cities that I definitely want to get to, if not this year, next year, sometime soon for sure. I think we've got an intriguing matchup here for the final. One team, the Penguins, that a lot of us expected to be here, right? Pittsburgh had the second most points in the NHL this season, 111. Only Washington had more with 118. But as I've told you a bazillion times, you can't trust the Capitals after the first round of the playoffs. And although they took the Penguins the distance this year, they still came up short in the conference semis. Capitals, Clippers, two teams after the first round I do not trust. You also have star power with this Pittsburgh squad in Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin. Sid the Kid had 44 goals in the regular season, and in 18 playoff games, he's got 20 points. So averaging over a point a game in the postseason, he's one of the premier talents in the game. Malkin finished the regular season with 72 points in 62 games, missed some time, but was plus 18, tying his career best in that category. Pens won the cup last year. I don't think many are surprised that they're back, although they've had to deal with some key injuries. Both clubs have, and more on that later. The last team to win back-to-back cups, Detroit, 97 and 98, almost 20 years ago, which shows how difficult it is. We've seen recently Chicago and LA win twice in 3 years, but not able to go back-to-back. The Blackhawks did it 2013 and 2015, and the Kings did it in 2012 and 2014. Nobody, though, has repeated since the Red Wings of the late 90s. Nashville, well, this is a different story. Nashville's in the final for the first time. So we have one team looking to repeat. We have another that's trying to get number one. The Predators got into playoffs as a wild card, 94 points, tied with Calgary for the fewest of any team that got in. So imagine an 8 seed in the NBA playoffs. This year, you're talking to Portland Trail Blazers and the Chicago Bulls. Imagine one of those teams getting to the NBA Finals. I can't even imagine the odds on that. But that's why I like to call hockey pinball on ice. It is a sport where strange things often happen, and home ice advantage doesn't seem to matter all that much. Heck, the Blackhawks and the Canadiens were eliminated in the first round. Two division champs gone in the opening round of the NHL playoffs. Nashville ended up fourth in the Central Division, behind Chicago, Minnesota, and St. Louis. And here the Predators are in the Stanley Cup Final. Fourth in your division, and you're in the final. So we've got the upstart in Nashville versus the defending champ in Pittsburgh. Let's look how they got here. Nashville shocked the hockey world by taking out Chicago in round one. And not only did the Predators win the series, they swept the Blackhawks. Unbelievable. Then they took care of the Blues in six games before knocking out the Ducks in six in the Western Conference Finals. And that Anaheim team won the Pacific Division with 105 points. So it's not like Nashville beat a bunch of cupcakes to get here. All right, they were not playing a Fat Albert schedule. They defeated some really, really good teams. Pittsburgh skated past Columbus in five games. And then, of course, that epic showdown with Washington that the Pens won in seven. And that was followed by yet another seven-game series, this time with Ottawa in the Eastern Conference Finals. Chris Kunitz was the hero, the game-winning goal in double overtime of that marathon Game 7. It was his second goal of the game. He also had an assist. Big performance for Kunitz. Pittsburgh has definitely been tested. The difference is, I believe most of us thought the Penguins would find a way to advance. I don't think we thought that about the Predators. There's not the same track record there. In baseball, you say, look in the back of the baseball card. Well, if you look at the back of the card for Pittsburgh and Nashville, you don't see similar results. Now to the most important position, the goalies. Matt Murray, injured in warm-ups before Pittsburgh's first playoff game. I mean, can you imagine losing your starting quarterback before the playoffs? You know, that's pretty much what happened to the Penguins here. Fortunately for Pittsburgh, they have a really, really good backup in Marc-Andre Fleury, and he stepped in and for the most part played really, really well. Then Murray returned for Game 4 of the Conference Finals, and all he's done in four starts is post a save percentage of .946. All right. So Murray in for Fleury, and he's been really good. For Nashville, Pekka Rinne. If you're not a big hockey fan, this is a guy that you want to pay attention to in this series. He has been standing on his head. It's a hockey term. You have to look it up in the NHL dictionary. It means he's been playing fabulous hockey. He's got a .941 save percentage this postseason. Very capable of stealing a game or two by himself. And I think that makes the Predators a live underdog. You know, sometimes you have a team that's got absolutely no shot. That's not the case here with the Predators. You know, I think they're a live underdog in this matchup. Next, the injuries. Murray back for Pittsburgh. Talked about that. Patrick Hornquist practiced Sunday, which is a good sign for the Penguins. But their top defenseman, Chris Letang, has been out this entire postseason, which is a huge loss. Letang had neck surgery for a herniated disc in mid-April. The Predators are without their number one center, and Ryan Johansson. He had emergency surgery after being diagnosed with acute compartment syndrome in his left thigh. He is expected to make a full recovery. Good news there. On top of that, Captain Mike Fisher, who's married to Carrie Underwood, has missed the last two games, took a knee to the head in the last series. That left Nashville really, really shorthanded at center. However, Fisher is cleared to play and said he's, quote, ready to rock and excited about game one. On to the coaches. Nashville's Peter Laviolette has been around this game for a long, long time. Just the fourth head coach in NHL history to lead three teams to the final. Three of them. He won a cup with Carolina 2006, got Philly to the final in 2010. So, I mean, this is a guy who's been there, done that. Mike Sullivan got a ton of credit last season, and I thought deservedly so, when he took over the Penguins in December and led them to the championship. They played much, much better under him. It was night and day. Well, now he's got them back to the final, so tough to argue with what Sullivan's done, especially facing the injuries that they've had to deal with this season. So prediction time now. The Predators have the better defense, led by PK Subban, one of the higher profile players in the NHL. He's quite a character, as well as Roman Josi, and of course, the brick wall and net in Rinne. You earn your goals when you play the Nashville Predators. Pittsburgh clearly has the advantage at center with Crosby and Malkin. Battle-tested, experienced team. Murray's back between the pipes now. I'm going to give the edge to the Penguins here. With Johansson out for Nashville, that is a critical loss. I think this will be a long series. I would not be stunned if the Predators win their first Stanley Cup. But I'm going with Pittsburgh in seven games. And as a Flyers fan, I really, really don't like uttering those words. But you know me, the king of objectivity, the captain of reality. So I got to keep it real. I'm saying Pens in seven. I think it's a long series. And Pittsburgh goes back to back. Who do you like? Let me know on Twitter at TheSportsRPT, TheSportsRPT. Once your prediction for the NBA Finals and also the NHL Final, the Stanley Cup, who wins it, Nashville or Pittsburgh? Let me know on Twitter at TheSportsRPT. I think it's going to be a fast-paced, entertaining series. Hoping to get a lot of action here. So send those predictions in as well as your five-star reviews for those of you who listen in the podcast section of iTunes. All right, moving along here on episode number 471, the Memorial Day edition of the Sports Report podcast. Thanks for tuning in. Tell your friends, your coworkers, family members that are into sports to check out our show every Monday. Now, this past Sunday was known as the greatest day in racing, with Formula One in the morning, the Indy 500 in the afternoon, and then NASCAR under the lights. You know I am not a big racing fan. I'll watch the big races like Indy, Daytona, but I am far from a diehard fan. I did tune in to the start of the Indy 500. I like all the pageantry there, the Americana that goes along with the race, the flyover, the national anthem, the call of gentlemen, start your engines. That's all good stuff. Love the tradition, love the history. That's what makes Indy special. Although I must admit, I could do without the chugging of the milk at the end of the race. I don't know what it is. It's just gross to me. I just like, you know, scratching a chalkboard, you know, that sound it makes. I mean, when I see the chugging in the milk, I mean, can we get him, you know, some water, Gatorade? Heck, get him a cold one, whatever, icy tea. Doesn't matter to me. Coke, Pepsi. But the milk, oh, on a hot day, I don't. Anywho, the racing was clean for the first 50 laps, and then Jay Howard lost control, hit the wall, came down the track, and collided with Scott Dixon. His car goes airborne, comes down sideways on the safety wall, and the entire back end was gone. I mean, just obliterated. It was a horrific crash. Really scary scene. Amazingly, he was able to walk away. I mean, the safety measures that go into these cars, they're going over 200 miles per hour. It's incredible. Really, really is. I mean, you see a wreck like that. What a week for Dixon, by the way. He was the pole sitter. First, he's robbed at gunpoint at a Taco Bell. And then he's in a really bad crash, which was no fault of his own. Elio Castroneves actually drove under Dixon's car, which was in midair. I mean, it's wild if you haven't seen it. But the big story of the 101st Indy 500 was Takuma Sato. Took the lead from Castroneves in the final laps and held on to become the first Japanese winner of this race. Owner Michael Andretti was thrilled. He was also a little bit shocked. I don't think he was expecting Sato to win it. One of his drivers has now won the Indy 500 three times in the last 4 years. Michael Andretti getting it done in a big way. Sato, who's 40 years old, just joined the team this season. instant impact right there. This is only his second IndyCar victory. The other was 4 years ago in Long Beach. And I don't think winning in Long Beach quite compares to winning the Indy 500. Castroneves just could not hold on to the lead late in the race. He was going for his record-tying fourth Indy 500 win. Rookie Ed Jones was third, a great showing for him, a youngster. Fernando Alonso of Spain, the two-time Formula One champ, got a lot of hype. I mean, there was a lot of buzz about Alonso, and he led for 27 laps, but his engine blew with 20 laps to go. Still got a really big ovation from the fans there when he got out of his car. Six of the top 10 finishers were Honda drivers, so Honda feeling good. The attendance, about 300,000 people. Can you imagine? I mean, your typical NFL game has, what, about 50,000? A lot of baseball games, you're getting 30, maybe 40,000. 300,000. A lot of celebrities for the Indy 500. And then we go down to Charlotte Motor Speedway for the Coca-Cola 600. Unfortunately, there was a long rain delay. Hour and 40 minutes. A great call late in this race by crew chief Justin Alexander. He told Austin Dillon not to pit with about 35 laps to go. Rolled the dice. Thought Dillon would have enough fuel to make it to the end. And he was right. Jimmy Johnson ran out of gas. Dillon passed him with two laps remaining for his first Cup victory. Huge win for the number three car and for Hall of Fame owner Richard Childress, because Dillon is his grandson. Dillon held off Kyle Busch and Martin Truex Jr. Truex Jr. once again led the most laps, but did not get the checkered flag. Matt Kenseth was fourth, Denny Hamlin fifth. Johnson, who we mentioned ran out of fuel, ended up 17th. Kyle Larson, this series points leader coming into this race, had a rough day, hit the wall twice, and ended up 33rd. So the day belongs to Austin Dillon. I just think it's cool seeing the cars at night, you know, under the lights. I don't know, just adds something to me. Maybe that's cheesy, but it does. So big Sunday for racing fans. Thought we'd touch on that as we wrap up the Memorial Day edition of the Sports Report podcast. Thanks again for tuning in each and every Monday. We'll have a lot more coming up in the weeks ahead on the NBA Finals and the Stanley Cup Final, of course. Again, I'm going with Pittsburgh over Nashville and Golden State over Cleveland. Send me your predictions, your picks on Twitter at the Sports RPT. Who do you like? How many games at the Sports RPT? Enjoy the rest of your holiday weekend, everybody. This has been episode number 471 of the Sports Report. I'm Paul Roberts on GrizzlyProductions.tv and iTunes.